you're like me, when you heard our second reading came from Revelation, you probably thought a little bit of fire and brimstone was coming, right? Didn't sound terribly great. But actually, if we talk, but because often we think about Revelation, we think of a book of judgment and destruction. But like the rest of the Bible, it's a book that contains a lot of hope. A lot of hope for the future. And in our reading today, we get this beautiful image of a multitude of people gathering around the throne of Christ, people of different nations, people of different races, people even speaking different languages, all gathered around his throne. And they gather and worship there because at that place, as they are gathered there, there's no longer hunger, no longer thirst, no longer suffering from the scorching sun, which I think is a great image as we begin our descent into summer. I was joking in the beginning service that yesterday we went outside and you could feel the sun. In fact, when we were at our in-laws, we didn't see any golfers out. It was just funny because the golfers will always be out there even in rain. But we didn't see even the hot sun. Tells us that every tear will be wiped away. This beautiful image of what it means to be the kingdom of God. What we're hoping will happen. But it doesn't just reveal what the kingdom of God looks like. It also gives us an idea of what God is trying to do in our world. It reveals God's plan for the world. A plan in which there will be no longer hunger or thirst. There will be no longer exposure to the scorching sun. Meaning there will be shade for those who are exposed. A place where the tears of sadness are wiped away and give way to joy. And it is God's mission that we also hear about in our gospel message today. Christ expresses this mission in two ways. The first is that he is coming to give eternal life. He is on a mission to give his sheep, his flock, life. And number two, that him and the Father are one. Not just one in their divinity, but united in their desire for the world. So that when we hear that Christ is coming to give the world eternal life, it also means God the Father is coming to give us eternal life. That they both are the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down their life for their sheep. And in a way, that concept feels really up there, right? I probably have lost some of you thinking, that seems kind of an interesting idea, right? The unity between Jesus and the Father and all these things. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. And in Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, right? Pretty easy, right? We celebrate the resurrection because it comes through something, comes through unity with God. The way we receive eternal life is being united to Christ in baptism. It also means that we become united in the goals of God. That our call is to follow God, to follow God's examples, and actually join in on God's desires. Yesterday I was at a conference for the Suncoast Conference, and the question that was asked is, they started with one simple question. What do you think your church should be doing? And everybody thought about it. Now let me ask you the follow-up question. What do you think God is calling your church to do? Thinned out some of the answers. But it's this idea when we talk about who we are. We're people who follow and are united to God. So that means our calling is to follow God's desires. And what we find in God's desires is that God offers us a lot. God is offering eternal life. A hope that tears will be wiped away. That people will have full bellies. People will not be thirsty. That people will have shelter. It's God's vision for this world. And when I hear this revelation text, I actually thought of a news article I heard recently. More recently, there's been this thing called blood shame in our schools, in which kids in school, they rack up enough debt that the school stops serving them hot meals and starts providing them peanut butter and jelly. Right? That's there was just a case of it in Rhode Island where it was not peanut butter and jelly, it was sunflower butter, which I have no clue what that is. I can imagine how you make it, but I have no clue what exactly that is. What's neat about these stories is the backlash. The school board had to reverse its decision because people were getting angry about it. How there are stories about strangers coming in and paying off that debt. Because the belief is that children who are in our school should have a warm meal to eat, whether they are from a wealthy family or from a poor family. It does not matter. It is important that they be fed. How neat it was yesterday to go to Hope. And since I was going to Hope, I brought the food that we collect that goes to Hope's pantry. And loading it up and realizing it took about 2 shopping carts. That's a pretty good number. And those people will then have a little bit more to eat. That those bellies will be full. That we are helping fulfill that image of God's kingdom. People are not as hungry. That hunger will hopefully give way to full bellies. Things that we do not just out of our desires. We do it because we believe God desires it. That God is creating a kingdom in our midst. And that as followers of Christ, we share in that vision. That we love others just as God has loved us. Today is an interesting day in the church. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is a very interesting day because while everybody in this room has a mother, not all of us have the same relationship with our mothers. Some people have good relationships with mothers. Some people have bad relationships with mothers. Some people's mothers have passed away. Some are still alive. Some people wish they could be mothers and couldn't. Some people just never felt called to be a mother. And all the other lists that I may have missed speaks to the complexity. And it's hard because also in the church, we use a lot of parenting image. We use the image of God the Father, right? And Father is an interesting word because there's nothing that technically makes God Father as we understand Father. If you aren't quite sure what that means, I'm trying to use vague terms so that the children in the room don't quite understand what I'm saying. God does not need another person to create. God just creates. But part of the reason we use the image of parent is that when a child is born, the very first person they encounter is probably the doctor. Right? Then after that, they put it to the parents' hands, whether it's the mother or the father. In fact, nursing has changed. They now are actually really have shifted it to put it into the mother's arms really quick. They call it skin on skin. And in the church, we kind of believe in the same thing. Parents are often the first person who shows you love. They're the first person to look upon you with joy, the people who hold you close. They are one of the earliest expressions and universal expressions of love. But just like all of us, parents are not perfect. I always joke, the day that you realize your mom's not perfect, that she's not always right. Talk about your teenage years. Mom, you're wrong.
Justin, don't worry, your mom's still perfect.
But it's this idea that we have to, we struggle. It's why in the church we struggle with sometimes the image of mother and father, because our life experiences are not always the same.
But what we do find in life is people who love us. People, whether they're an aunt, a friend, an older individual, a younger individual, we often find in this life love. And in that sharing of love, we see something that God has given us. We see God's love. It's why we talk about the image of a parent like we talk about God. Because in the actions of a good, loving parent, we see the image of God. Because in God, we see God who loves, who cares, who wants the best for you, who will struggle with you throughout your whole life to give you more, to turn you into your best potential, to see you be happy. And isn't that what we talk about for parenting? Now, I get it. As a parent, it's a choice. It's a difficult choice. It's not easy all the time. But we use that image because what is at the root of what we're talking about is love. That we love others as God has loved us. And so we celebrate. We celebrate on a day like this the people who have shown us love. A love that we don't always feel like we deserve. A love that is unchanging. A love that seeks the best for us. A love that starts with God.
Amen. Please join.